It's a conversation with the state treasurer here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Treasurer Sarah Godlewski took office 6 months ago, and we're checking in with her. In the past months, she's worked to expand the job that a referendum attempted to eliminate last year. And one of Treasurer Godlewski's first actions was requesting that the Legislative Reference Bureau provide a list of responsibilities that the treasurer is assigned to do by law. 17 things came up. What issues do you think the state treasurer should be working on? Do you want the treasurer to provide Wisconsinites perhaps more information about the finances of state government? We're at 800-642-1234 for you to join in. Treasurer Godlewski, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks, Kate, for having me. When you said it was 6 months, it's like, wow,
time flies.
Where did the time go? Yeah, when you're having fun. Exactly.
Well, what's your reaction to the state budget that Governor Evers signed last week?
Well, in my mind, just looking at the last 6 months in the budget process, this is exactly what compromise looks like. When you go to the people and listen to what they're looking for, the legislature and the governor take that information. And then the governor, I think, did a great job of delivering what was an effective budget overall. I mean, if you look at it, there's really three things to me that kind of pop up. The first is, what was he funding? And the governor campaigned on, he wants to make sure we fund public education. He wants to make sure we fund health, and he wants to make sure we fund transportation. And those were three things that he funded in this budget. I mean, we saw the highest increase in public education in over a decade. We saw the same in transportation, over $500 million to do special projects. And then the same thing, I mean, I think health care was a little bit of a different challenge because of the whole Medicaid situation. So It was looking at not just what, but then how is that from a financially sound perspective? And that's what I was really worried about is, you know, we talk about all this spending and what does that look like? And when I looked at it from a fiscally responsible perspective.
I mean, this is $82 billion, right?
Right. This isn't just like pocket change laying around.
Right.
And really, what are our tax dollars going to? But is it an efficient way? And how does it overall look like? And to me, two things popped up. I think what I was impressed about is overall, he was able to decrease overall expenditures by almost $20 million. And what that means is that at the overall perspective of the budget, we are now more sound when it comes to like what is a structurally balanced budget. And when we talk about a structurally balanced budget, we're looking at revenue, expenses, and reserves. And is that the right mix? And this budget actually has been one of the most sound structurally that we've had in a really long time. And I think that's a great thing for taxpayers. So in addition to a sound structurally balanced budget, funding public education, healthcare, and roads, we also saw a tax cut for the middle class with income tax of over 10%. So to me, these were important things that were able to get done in 6 months. And I think that's exactly what Wisconsinites were looking for.
The governor had originally proposed to give your office about $500,000 in additional funding, but Republicans blocked that increase from happening. Where do you stand on that? How would your office use those additional funds?
So I think I will be honest, this has probably been one of the most frustrating things about my job is that I don't think it's about what can the value bring with regards to the treasurer's office. It has become much more about, is this a partisan issue? And the treasurer's office shouldn't be a partisan issue. I mean, a couple things to point out. One is we have over $12 million in our checking account. So we weren't going to be using tax dollars to fund this office. This office has been funded from the revenue in which we bring, and it's always been that way. And so when we were asking for $500,000, one of the things that we talked about is, look, we will provide taxpayers between $2 to $5 million in return to prove ourselves. We're willing to prove ourselves to taxpayers to say, look, like we're willing to return property. We're willing to find money that has been probably misallocated or not well spent, exactly what a fiscal watchdog is doing. And we can guarantee almost a 200% return on your investment by just investing $500,000. And yet we still weren't able to get anywhere. Now, in business, if you gave somebody a 200% return on investment, they would say, that's a steal. We should do that. And so I think that's what's been so frustrating is it has nothing to do about what we can bring taxpayers. It's become this partisan issue and there's no need for that.
We are talking with State Treasurer Sarah Godlewski. What are your questions for her? What do you think the state treasurer should be doing? What issues do you think the state treasurer should be working on? And what do you want her to address as you look at retirement planning and student loan debt? We're at 800-642-1234. 1-800-324. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Let's bring in Chris now from Adams. Hi, Chris.
Good morning. You have been assigned by, you've been assigned by the governor to a 3-person panel to set up and do this task force on student loan debt. And I'm in the middle of a student loan nightmare, and I'd like to know what the schedule is for the little townhouse meetings you're having with people, and then what you see as the focus of where that should go.
Chris, thanks. What about the student loan refinancing task force?
So, first of all, Chris, thanks for pointing that out. I think one thing just to mention is that, unfortunately, the student loan task force was removed from the budget, and so it's no longer a part of that overall budget package. That being said, I recently had a great conversation with the governor's office, and we're going to move forward with that because we, as executives, have task force authority. And so the first really critical aspect of an effective task force with regards to student loan debt that we're going to be looking at is listening to what Wisconsinites are struggling with. So we plan, exactly to your point, Chris, traveling the state to really make sure that we understand the problems. My mom always jokes, you know, Sarah, you have 2 ears and 1 mouth for a reason, so you should do more listening as a politician and probably less talking. And I 100% agree with her on that. So we want to make sure we're understanding with regards to, are there key challenges with consumer protection? Are there key problems with financial solutions, with we need more tax incentives in Wisconsin for people handling student loan debt. So our first priority is listening. Now, we are in the process of setting up a website currently, and hopefully in the next couple of weeks we'll have that done. And Chris, you'll be able to see our schedule as we travel the state. And then from there, we will then start going into how are the solutions that we can best fit Wisconsinites in addressing this $24 billion problem.
So, yeah, you're going to gather up all this information around student loan debt in Wisconsin, and then you bring it together, and then you think, now, what do we do here? What are some possible things you can do to alleviate this problem?
So for me, I think it's a couple things. One is with consumer protection. I mean, we recently were in La Crosse, and one of the stories that we heard was about a woman who had a call, for example, with a private lender, and they said that they could reduce her rates by 1 percentage point. Now, what they didn't tell her is that she would lose all of her federal benefits if she refinanced with a private lender. And at the end of the day, she actually wasn't saving any money. And so they weren't being forthcoming and disclosing. What are the consequences if you refinance with a private lender? What could that look like? And further, it was a floating type rate, and so that increased exponentially after she signed up.
Oh, kind of like an ARM?
Right.
Wow.
So
okay.
These are things that we want to make sure Wisconsinites are protected against with regards to making sure private lenders disclose information and provide transparency about their rates. I think the other critical area that we want to look at with refinancing is, who are we refinancing? Right now, we know refinancing is benefiting kids that are well off, or whose parents are well off. In reality, we are looking at a lot of kids when they graduate from college do not have assets, they don't have collateral, and so they don't qualify for reasonable rates. So how can we make sure that we are providing them the quality lending that they need at a fair rate? I mean, we're in some of the lowest lending rates in the history, Kate, if you think about it. I mean, rates are like between, not to dork out, but anywhere between 1.5 to 3.5%. And yet we're charging students 15% on interest. This is insane. And I think it's unjust and something we have to address.
What do you want to see happen with child savings accounts?
So child savings accounts is a little bit of a different, I guess, bucket for me. And here's a couple of things that I want to see with child savings accounts. I think one is, I'd like to see every kid in the state of Wisconsin get a child savings account at birth. But when it comes to that, I think the question is, I don't want it to just be for college. I think a lot of kids are looking at, they want to start a business, or they want to own a home, or they want to look at saving for retirement. So how can we open up a savings account that provides flexibility, but at the same time earns quality returns? So we know in a savings account right now, if you put in $100 and it has a 2% savings rate, you're not really making that much money by the time you're 18. But if you invest it, for example, in like a Roth IRA, which is a retirement account, if we put $100 in for every kid that was born in the state of Wisconsin in a Roth, if they didn't touch it until they were 60, they would have over $200,000 by the time that they're 60. And we know in Wisconsin, one of the challenges facing many Wisconsinites is they're not able to save for retirement until they're 50. And so these are innovative ideas, I think, that we need to start talking about.
And you see a real crisis in retirement, people having enough in Wisconsin to retire on?
Right. Exactly. I mean, literally, the stat that came across my desk is that over 50% of Wisconsinites have less than $3,000 saved. Now, it's not because they don't care about retirement. One of the challenges is that 1 in 7 Wisconsin voters, they don't have access to it through their employer. And so,
like a 401k.
401k. It could be anything with regards to. There's a lot of different retirement tools that they could use. But yet, when you ask Wisconsinites, if you had a tool available, over 86% said that they would absolutely use it. And what we are finding is that when states provide tools, they are 15 times more likely to save. And so I think these are the things that we need to start talking about. I mean, Oregon has done a program, Kate, that I think has been the longest running. It's been now over 2 years. And literally within their 2 years, they had over 84,000 people join. 6,000 employers, and they created a fund of over $20 million. Now, people always ask me, Sarah, what's the cost for that? The cost is actually nothing, because we actually take some of the operational costs from the overall performance of the portfolio. So this is like a win-win for everybody. It's a win for Wisconsinites. It's a win because it doesn't actually cost taxpayers anything, but it helps make the state overall financially secure.
We're talking with State Treasurer Sarah Godlewski. What concerns do you have about the state's investments and its business dealings? How should the treasurer work for you? And how might we ease the burden of student loans, loan debt for Wisconsinites? Join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. We'll be back in just a moment here on the Ideas Network. You have a line to the state treasurer, Sarah Godlewski, here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's been 6 months since Democratic State Treasurer Sarah Godlewski was sworn into office alongside Governor Tony Evers and Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes and Attorney General Josh Call. And since then, she's been working to expand the duties and the impact of her office that could have been eliminated in a statewide referendum in the spring of 2018. And she campaigned to keep the office and be the state's fiscal watchdog. So what questions do you have for the treasurer? What would you like her to address on the job? What duties do you think the office should oversee? Join in at 800-642-1234, and Treasurer Godlewski stays with us. Let's go back to the phones now with Mary Kay joining us from Kenosha. Hi, Mary Kay.
Good morning. I would like to bring up three different things. The first thing is a cap on interest rates for student loans. 35% is ridiculous. I mean, the state needs to put a cap on this interest rate. It's going to take people forever and ever to pay anything back. The second thing is, there is no such thing as free health care. Either you pay for your health care and you're not eligible, or you're eligible and you pay it back anyway. So there really is no such thing as free health care. Us taxpayers will be paying all the bills.
I'm sorry. And the third thing, Mary Kay, let's one more point. The laundry list here. Yes.
The third one is Social Security, VA. People that are below poverty level shouldn't be paying taxes on that, because it shouldn't be taxable income, because that's their only income. They've been taxed on it when they earned it.
Thank you so much, Mary Kay. What can we tackle there?
So, first of all, Mary Kay, thanks for your questions. You're definitely making me work right now. I love it. One thing just to clarify is that our office has nothing to do with taxation. So that's what I think makes us such a good fiscal watchdog, because the legislature and the governor, they tax you. They figure out the tax rate. They then tell you how they're going to spend your money, and then they spend your money. We're really the office, based on the constitutional framework, to come in and say, did the government spend the money the way that they said they would? We're like an independent entity in that way. But with that being said, I think that you know, with regards to interest rates, we absolutely agree. I mean, if you look at whether it's the housing market or other entities that are involved in lending, there's different caps on how much money they can make off of people. And when we're charging 15% interest on these students, I think we really have to look at, is that really fair with the risk involved? And so I think that's absolutely something that is part of the task force and something that we want to look at. With regards to healthcare, I mean, I agree. I don't think anything is free. What I have been really struggling with in this last budget is the fact that we did not take the Medicaid money. I mean, we are paying into that system, but yet New Jersey, Illinois, and California are getting the benefit of Wisconsinites that are paying into this tax system. And so if we would have taken that Medicaid money, that would have helped fund over 80,000 Wisconsinites, it would have provided over $300 million into the system. And then further, we would have got over $1.6 billion in new healthcare investments. And new healthcare investments make a big difference as far as generating jobs, generating to the economy here in Wisconsin. And so I think that's what's been really unfortunate. And so what do we do now to make sure we have a really effective and efficient healthcare system?
I want to touch on unclaimed property for a moment, because in 2013, the treasurer's job of running unclaimed property went to the revenue department. Is that still the case? Or,
yeah. So when they split the unclaimed property program, the way that they did it is that the Department of Revenue is responsible for processing the claims.
Okay.
And then what the treasurer is responsible for is making sure we reunite you with your rightful property. Now, one of the challenges has been, Kate, is that we haven't been funded for this responsibility in almost 4 years. So we recently did an analysis to say, okay, what is this cost on taxpayers for us actually not reuniting people with their rightful property? And we've found that since this office hasn't been funded to do that, taxpayers have been losing about $10 million a year, which has been over $40 million in 4 years. And so the government is keeping this property that doesn't belong to
them.
So
this property could be like a dormant bank account.
Yes.
It could be
a paycheck,
an insurance claim
that you forgot to pick up.
Okay.
Yeah, it can be almost anything. And so what's so important is that not only that we have a successful unclaimed property program, but you as Wisconsinites deserve your property. I mean, this was literally written into the Constitution because the founders believe that we shouldn't be holding property that doesn't belong to us. But yet we aren't able to get funding to make sure people are getting back the property that they deserve. I think the other important piece to mention is that the unclaimed property program does also help fund the Common School Fund, which is money that goes to public schools. And so by also not claiming unclaimed property from businesses that might have earned it. So to your point, mm-hmm. I found when I was 16, I used to work at Pizza Hut in Eau Claire, Kate, and I found out that I didn't pick up a check one time. And so that check then went into unclaimed property. That interest then helped provide money to public schools. But what was worse is I never knew that I even had that money. And mm-hmm. that's what the treasurer was supposed to be doing, is letting people know that they can start taking their money.
Let's go to Steve in Sun Prairie. Hi, Steve.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. You know, one of the great things that Governor Walker did with the Republicans a number of years back is enacting Act 10, which allows governments, local and state, to save quite a bit of money. One of the problems that I see, though, is that a lot of the people in power in those areas either lack the courage or don't know how to do it. One of the great things I would love to see the Treasurer's Department do is have a task force that can go into these local governments or other places in state government and inform the public of ways that money could be saved, but those entities are just not doing it.
Steve, no, I think that's a really good question. And I want to really focus on the part about working with county and local governments. One of our statutory responsibilities is actually to work with county and municipal state treasurers. And that has not been done in a couple of years. And so we recently have developed a partnership with both the County Treasurers Association and the Municipal Treasurers Association. And one of the things that we have been talking to them about is how can we be a resource with regards to being being more effective with investment dollars, are being more effective with internal controls. And so those are things that we are looking at because we know money in local government is so scarce, but as a result, so important in helping communities achieve those projects. And so that is something that we are working on, is building that relationship so we can provide those kind of services to local government.
Have you faced any barriers or challenges in trying to build these deeper understandings of state finances within local government relations? Are state agencies reaching out to you and making those connections?
So we have been, when we got into office, one of the things that we did is, first and foremost, we set up meetings with all the legislators to let them know kind of our goals and priorities. And the same thing was with state agencies. So meeting with agency heads and letting them know kind of that we are here, we want to be a part of the work. I mean, one of the responsibilities that was captured in statutes when we asked the Legislative Reference Bureau was that we should be working in collaboration with the Department of Administration and the Department of Revenue and how we manage funds and how we invest this money. And so that has been something that we have been working on and kind of figuring out what does that relationship look like.
So here we are halfway through your first year. Do you see any change in the attitudes that would allow for restoring some of your office's duties?
So to me, I think one of the biggest changes have been the people of Wisconsin. I mean, we literally get hundreds of calls in our office about people looking at talking about retirement or asking for help about student loan debt, or even, I mean, were calling us about the whole hemp industry. You know, the hemp industry was made a completely legal industry with the Farm Act. They considered hemp just like any other crop, like corn or wheat, Kate. But yet, some of the hemp businesses in Wisconsin were unable to get financing. And so they were calling us to say, can you help work with local financial institutions because we are doing everything right? And so I think what has been one of the biggest changes is people now see us as a resource, as an advocate for them financially. And that's something that we're going to continue to fight for and build our overall competency for Wisconsinites.
Really quickly, last few seconds, an annual report for Wisconsin. Is that something that is on your agenda?
Yes. So one thing that I was shocked about as somebody who came from the private sector is, you know, when you sit on the board, whether it's for a company or for a nonprofit, you have an annual report. So your stakeholders or your donors for your nonprofit know how you're performing. What are they getting for their money? And when I came to state government, I was like, where's your annual report? I mean, we have what's called a CAFR. It's this comprehensive financial report. And that's like reading a 1,000-page just dictionary. And so we hope to put together this taxpayer annual report so people can see the transparency and what their tax dollars go toward.
Well, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Kate. It's always great to be here.
Treasurer Sarah Godlewski. Just ahead, two Wisconsin homes built by Frank Lloyd Wright have been made the UNESCO World Heritage List. We'll find out more. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.